Hi, I'm Emma.
And I'm Karen. And welcome to In the Spirit of Everything, a podcast of conversations, sometimes with guests, in which we discuss not only everything spiritual, but whatever life throws our way, through the eyes of love, humour, and probably the odd bit of swearing. Sharing how we stay grounded and sane-ish in this beautiful, but sometimes crazy world, hoping to help you along the way too.
Hello, my beautiful. Here we are again. And how's your week been?
Hello, lovely. Good, thanks. Yeah, good week. We were talking about it earlier, actually. There are some major solar flares coming into our atmosphere at the minute. Like really big ones. Things that are it's affecting things like communication, satellites, all sorts of stuff, but also affecting us as human beings and our electrical magnetic field and our emotions. And have I been feeling that this last week. So yeah, lots of emotions coming up, and at the moment there's a lot of inner child stuff to be healed. So I've been feeling that. So you know, weird things, you know, like if memories and stuff come up, don't panic. It's just stuff coming up to be moved on, to be purged. And I've really been feeling that this week, to be fair. Feeling great, you know, absolutely great, but I've really felt this emotional roller coaster this last week. And I saw that, like, I think it was Sky News had posted something about this amazing light that's come into the solar system, and they couldn't explain that, and that's separate to the solar flares. So there is so much happening. It's quite exciting because science is kind of, you know, proving stuff that we've been feeling in the spirit.
Yeah, well, it's nice to think that there's light coming into our universe as well. Maybe that's kind of like, you know, there might be a real shift in consciousness. So it's for sort of like the world, or like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's absolutely what's happening.
It's funny that you say about that, you know, things coming up from childhood and stuff, because I've had that like recently, and not just over the last week, like, you know, a couple of things for a little while. My emotions have actually felt more stable. I think I had that like a little while ago, but like you said, I think it's just different. It's tapping into what you're needing and what you're needing to release, isn't it? I've actually kind of felt a little bit more like I'm shifting into a more sort of like confident like feeling, which has been, you know, I think I was having all those like my sort of self-doubts about around business and where I want my business to go. Mm-hmm. I actually feel like maybe I've shifted that a little bit, and I've got these emotions coming through of like, oh, actually you can do this, you've got this, you know. So but when you talk about the like things coming up from childhood, I was thinking it's because I've got a 14-year-old, so things that she's coming through are bringing stuff through. But that's interesting, because maybe it just is
happening.
Maybe we're coinciding, you know, and it's kind of like as she's going through, because like different things that I didn't realise had made much of an impact on me. But then the fact that they're a memory in my head, they obviously did. I've obviously carried them, you know, and it's that sort of like being able to release. So. Oh, look, we're ascending to being higher beings. We're shedding all of our onion skins.
Exactly that. How are you? How was your week?
Yeah, good. It's just, as I say, that like the week bits just kind of seem to like fly around, and it's like, you know, they all blur into one, and I don't think much happens sort of like, you know, bar the usual at the beginning of the week. But I did another, it was just a day retreat this time in Wales. One of my yoga teachers and friend Liz, she lives in Mid Wales. It's absolutely beautiful out there. And we did like a couple of retreats, like weekend ones last summer. Oh no, this summer. God, I'm getting so confused. This summer. And we've just done a Christmas one. It was such good fun. It really was. It was just a day, but it was beautiful. I love going out there anyway. And all the fields were a bit snowy, and it was just, and I go and I stay in. It's like my caravan now. I've claimed it, you know. I get to stay in this, and all the bedding and everything's all white. I feel like I'm sleeping in a cloud with no children and no husband. It's like a weekend of therapy for me, you know. Loads of yoga, meditation, chanting, which I obviously I do like my group Reiki session, which is lovely. But I come away from there, and that one of the other presenters there, Ale, she always does chanting, and I always come away from there thinking I get so much out of it. I love it, that sort of like the chanting and the vibrations in your head and the clearing of it. And you know, I come away thinking, right, I'm going to stick with that, and then I don't. And then I was saying to him, look, my neighbours already think I'm an absolute weirdo. The fact that I get out and I get in my barrel like every morning, and I'm kind of like, you know, doing swimming in lakes and stuff. So if I'm sitting in my barrel chanting, they're just going to think not much of it, actually.
No, I'm just going to say that. They're just going, oh, plants in the garden. Yeah.
I have to
share, because I didn't know whether to share it or not, actually, but now you've said that, I feel like I should. And you know, I taught on Saturday this most amazing lady who happens to be a medium as well, and she brought through my old dog, which I hadn't even realized he'd passed over, and he came back to visit, and she literally described him. She told me his name, his favorite toy, the park I used to take him to. I mean, it was just unbelievable. It was weird.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting it, but it was just so magical. So now he's come back home to me, and he's now apparently living with me here. And so poor Stuart has now had to put up with, we've now got a new spiritual pet. In the
house. And why wouldn't you? I mean, come on, you know, it's like, but I think that's lovely. And it's lovely that you kind of like, you know, you got that sort of connection back, because you did really miss him, didn't you?
Oh,
you know,
God, so it's kind so of much, fun. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, apparently he's come back, which is, yeah, I'm getting used to it. I'm getting used to it being here, but it's yes. It's really lovely.
That's great.
You're not the only weirdo, darling. I'm one.
Oh
too.
Well, no, that's why we get on so well, because we are both bloody weird. But hey, yeah. You know, it's, we're happy with it. You know, that's what. You know, my friends are. They're like, she's weird, but you know, she's harmless. She's, you know, she won't hurt you.
Just a bit weird.
But you know what, I smile because of it, you know, it keeps me happy. So
yeah,
but, and the other, you know, I've had this week, obviously the temperature has taken a real dip, hasn't it? So Thursday was the first morning I got in my barrel, and there was a thin layer of ice that I had to crack before I got in. And then Friday, Saturday, like the ice got sort of like a little bit thicker, and I went and had We swam last night in the lake, and that was, we got like, you know, we could only swim sort of like the shallower bits, because it's like, you know, the rest of it has got like that thin layer of ice, and it's not really, really thick, but yeah, obviously, yeah, you can't swim, because you're exposing your neck to sharp splinters of ice, and you know, obviously stay in the bit that there wasn't any water, but oh yes, it's definitely feeling fresh now. It's down to about 3 degrees, so it's biting in all the bits that I like it biting in.
Oh, you are good. How long do you stay in for?
We're not in there that, you know, not in there long. Probably, I don't know, I'd say maybe 10 minutes. Okay. But, you know, you do need to get out, and you know, you do really feel it. You have to get ready, like, really quickly afterwards, and kind of get that little bit of movement, get your core sort of, like, warming up a little bit, nice hot drink, and just kind of, like, but it is, it's...
Interestingly enough, there's a local group that I follow, and they posted, I think it was yesterday or recently in the last few days, that someone, there's a lake there. I'm thinking of going, actually, but maybe when it warms up. But someone had gone in swimming, and they said that, you know, like, I think it's 3 minutes if you're starting out is really the maximum you should go in or whatever. But this guy had started to go into hypothermic shock.
Yeah.
And so they have a lifeguard there, actually.
Right, okay.
Who had to, you know, I think an ambulance was called. He's fine.
Yeah.
But they were just reinforcing how important it is to take responsibility for yourself, really, and not to push yourself when you're...
You swim your own swim. I mean, that's what we always say. You swim your own swim, and you don't... The problem, I think, as well, can be for some people... go in, and there's people that have done it for a while, and you know, they know sort of like, and they can maybe be in there in 5 to 10 minutes, you know, and you're just going, you think, well, I'll probably be all right then, you know, and you're not, you're always better to get out thinking, I wish I'd have stayed in a little bit longer than to stay in that long, because it can happen so quickly as well. But I mean, it is, even though, I mean, we this is our second winter, all the ones that were there last night, it's all of our second winter coming through. And even as we're getting in, we are like, what are we doing? Like, this is this is like bordering on painful. Like, what are we doing? Yeah. But when we get out, we feel amazing.
It's a bit afterwards.
It is. And I mean, through the summer when we were swimming longer, and I love that. I through the winter I miss the fact that I can't swim very long, and in the summer I miss that I'm not getting that cold. You know, all the sort of like endorphins and everything, the rush and that kind of like, yeah, I'm still alive. but yeah, which leads us quite nicely actually onto what we're talking about today, because the reason that we do that is because how it makes us feel afterwards. And this week we're going to talk about exercise, aren't we?
Yeah, exercise and moving your body.
Yeah,
you're so good at doing that. And
We thought we'd come from the two sides of it, didn't we? And when we talk about exercise, I mean, it doesn't have to be sort of like going out and doing crazy stuff. It is just about moving your body, because we've spoken quite a few times about meditations and Reiki and all of these things that kind of like help soothe your mind and put you in a better state of mind for being able to deal with stress and all of these things. And exercise is another one of those things that helps you do that, you know. I mean, again, this morning I have run in the torrential rain. I have run through, some park is quite hilly, so at certain points we actually feel like we're running through a river. You know, your feet cannot actually get any wetter. You know, there's water flowing through them. And starting off, it is kind of like, what are we doing? It's 5:45 in the morning. We're in a park, in the bloody rain, in the dark. Are we mental? I never feel like that at the end, you know. So I think exercise for me, as much as I like to feel my body moving and I like to feel strong, and I've always done that, it is mentally how I feel. That's what keeps me going back and back and back and back, you know. So
how do you stay motivated? Because, or how do you motivate yourself? Because that, for me, that's my issue, is like I start every now and then we'll go for a walk in the evening. Like, we're very lucky where we live. We've got the river at the bottom of the road, so we'll go for some lovely walks by the river. But I'm not consistent, you know. And so how do I stay consistent?
I enjoy it, you know. So I kind of like that. That for me is one of those. I'm quite motivated anyway. Before I joined like the running, you know, the running club, and before I started doing the swimming with the blue tits, I would come up every morning and do sort of like exercises in the studio or in my front room anyway, you know. But I would say that what this morning, that's because I'm running with people. So we motivate each other. You know, you've got that accountability. I know that they're going to be there in the park waiting for me. So it gets me out of bed and gets me there. Mm. If it was just me going there on my own, a morning like this morning, you can think, nah, can't be bothered. Yeah. Or you get halfway around and you're feeling a bit tired and you're thinking, I'm just going to walk now. And I'm not saying we never do walk. You know, if one of us got an injury or one of us is, you know, like just not feeling it or whatever, you know, we do walk. But when you're thinking I could walk and the person next to you is carrying on running, you think maybe I'd just carry on a little bit more, you know. And it keeps you going.
Keeps you motivated.
So I mean, I, you know, for me, exercise is, it's I like the way that it makes my body feel. I like to think that I can do that. I like to, I mean, running, I never ever thought that running would be something I could do. And I've always liked to exercise. I've always done a bit of yoga. I used to go to the gym. I would do sort of classes. Running, I actually thought I could never do. And it just got to a point where I just thought, I just want to know that I can run for half an hour. Just, it was kind of like one of these like challenges. I just wanted to give myself, you know, like if I can run for half an hour, in my mind, I'm actually quite fit. Do you know what I mean? Because there's a difference between being strong and kind of like looking to, and actually being fit, you know, like your cardio fitness. So
nothing to do with, because there's such a misconception, isn't there? People tend to look at people and judge them and think, oh, that person's skinny, they must be really fit, or that person's larger, they must be really unfit. That's absolute crap.
Completely. No, some of the larger, you know, you see some large people that are so, and they can just run, and they do triathlons, yeah. and they do that. And like you say, some people that you look at and they look, you think, God, you must do loads of exercise. And
people say that to me all the time. And I say, no, I don't. And then I feel guilt. But it's not like, oh, okay, I might not be big, but I know I'm unfit. And when I don't move my body, I really notice the difference, like in aches and pains. Obviously, like getting older now, I'm 52 now. And, you know, you do get the aches and pains, but more so when you're not moving your body.
Yeah. And well, it's really important as we get older as well, because we lose muscle mass so quickly. And muscle is our strength. It helps our bones stay strong and healthy, and especially for women. Like, you know, osteoporosis is a real threat, you know. And I mean, I remember speaking to, actually, one of the lady who does the chanting at the retreat, she was a GP, and like one of the retreats we did, like she was talking about she does like Medi yoga, and it is more about just kind of keeping the body strong and healthy, because I didn't realise that a lot of women, older women, that like their hips break, and we assume that they've fallen. Mm. And broken the hip, when in actual fact what often happens is that the hip gave way, and that's what caused the fall, because the bones become so weak, because we just don't, you know. And as we get older, and I mean we've all got more energy when we're younger, so it's like, yeah, I'm gonna go and do this, you know. As we get older, we kind of like feel like I haven't got the energy to go and do that. Well, like you say, when you actually do a bit of exercise, it actually gives you energy, and it is really, really important to maintain. Not that you've got to have pumped muscles, you haven't got to look like you're down the gym like 24/7 or whatever, but maintaining some strength, because I think from the age of 40, I don't know the statistics and I can't remember the kind of like the rate, but you lose muscle mass so quickly, so that you need to actually be doing some form of strength exercise every single day just to maintain what you've got. You know,
I still think that's why I got those frozen shoulders, because I wasn't moving. I was working at the doggy daycare at the time, so I was moving more than I would have done, because for years I was at a desk working, you know, in an office environment, and you don't move that much, you know, sat at the desk for hours a day.
But and in a fixed position as well, aren't you? Like, you know, I mean, with your shoulders kind of like,
So there's micro movements that you can do. So I, you know, because I don't do a lot of high impact exercise, I was looking for stuff that I can do, small movements that can help me. So since my shoulders have got better, they're not 100%, but they're definitely much better, I make sure now in the morning, and we've spoken about this before, but I do some yoga stretches. It's not, you know, massive yoga session, but I make sure that I do, it's like downward dog, and it's you know, there's a few things that I do that I really notice if I don't do them, I will start to stiffen up. And sitting at the desk, if you're sat at the desk all day, or you're just not as mobile perhaps as you'd like to be, or that you used to be, just sitting and moving your head, like keeping your body in one position and moving your head to the left,
Back
your shoulder as far as you can, bringing it back to the middle, then moving to the left and moving over your shoulder as far as you can, coming back, moving your head up, moving it down, and then your ear to your shoulder. And so I feel a bit like an old woman doing this, because I used to see older people do these kind of exercises. They are so important. I can't tell you.
Every morning, I mean, you know, as much as I do all the running and everything, they're the bits I have to do every morning. And exactly what you've done, that is what I do. And I do it on the breath as well. So I breathe out as I'm going and breathe in as I come back out. So I do it on my breath as well, because I find that kind of, it's quite, you know, I like that. And it's, you know, it goes into sort of like that meditative sort of like thing again as well. Yeah. But I wake up and my head and my neck, they do feel quite stiff. And if I go a few days without actually doing those neck stretches, I really do notice it, because that then transfers to my back feeling tight and my hips feeling tight. And it's, I mean, I like to start most of it, and I didn't do it for a little while, and I really did notice it. I come down and, like you say, I'll start off with my head and kind of like loosen that up a bit, and then I'll lay on the floor and I'll just do like some really like gentle sort of twists, and just kind of like just pulling those, and like you say, that that, like the downward dog and movements like that, it's because it stretches the muscles all the way from your toes all the way down to you're stretching that the whole lot, you know. So it just is even,
it feels amazing.
You can go on to YouTube and or you know and find like yoga classes. You can find obviously ridiculously extreme kind of like competitive ones, but there are a lot that are just a 5 or 10 minute morning gentle stretch, you know.
Yeah, and you don't look at times,
yeah, and then you'll think, okay, well then, and like each person, we've all got kind of different muscles that get tight. So for some people it might be their hips that get particularly tight, and most of us do hold a lot of tension in our hips and our abductors, like the inside of the thighs and like our hamstrings and our quads. But you'll find as you're doing that, ones that you think, oh yeah that one feels good, and others you're like, actually no, that one's not really doing much for me. So then you then learn what ones that you need to do each day.
Because I didn't know where to start, because I just did what you said. I typed in beginner's yoga stretches for the morning. I think I do Adrienne's ones because she's
Adrienne is weird. Yeah, she's,
but you know,
she's
I remember going to a yoga class with our gorgeous friend Victoria, who is now traveling at the moment. Hi Vic, if you're listening from India.
Yes.
And she took
me. Making me feel jealous with all your bloody pictures.
Oh, I know, she looks amazing. I remember going to this yoga class with her, and I mean, she was standing on her head and she was doing all of this stuff, and I honestly could not. It was like, I'm never going back. I can't do that. It was proper, you know, proper yoga stuff that, and I'd never done it before.
Yeah,
it was amazing. But you know, so when you think of yoga, sometimes people think of, you know, you have to be able to stand on your head and do the lotus position and all the rest of it, but it really isn't that.
No,
you know, it's whatever it feels right for you. But honestly, just those few stretches in the morning make such a difference.
Well, yoga is, it's, I mean, the physical side of yoga is just one element of it, you know. There's kind of like, there's the breath, the movement, and you know that it's all part of it, you know, mind, body, spirit, it's all holistic, you know. So there's and that just, I think, you know, there are, especially when you go to some classes, it is very competitive, and you can just do yourself an injury, you know. It's not about that. We've all got different sort of like limitations, we've all got different parts of our body that stretch more than others, some people are more bendy than others naturally, but it's a great place to start. We within the group that we run with, there's a lot of them that run and they never do any stretches. And you know, like I run with Kath, who we had on, and she's a yoga teacher, fantastic yoga teacher. Me and her at the end, we always do a few stretches. We stretch it out. If I don't, I really notice the difference in my legs. I'm trying to tell her. I mean, they look at us like we're just too old women, like what the, you know. But they then get injured so much. You know, stretching is that there's not enough emphasis and like importance rather put on stretching your body. I don't think people think of it as being exercise,
but it is. And it's these micro movements that make such a difference. So it doesn't have to be, you know, going to the gym and running and, you know, swimming and cycling and all of the rest of it, which is great, and we will talk a bit about that in a bit, but the micro movements make such a difference.
Yeah,
and
massively.
I mentioned on a previous podcast that we did about a book called Quench, and in that book it was about how to get more hydration into your body, into the cells of your body, and one of the ways of doing that is through these micro movements of, like we were just saying, moving your head, moving your neck, but there's other ones in there as well. It's absolutely brilliant, and it's great for if you're sat at your desk all day, just doing a few of these micro movements every half an hour, just moving your body in these certain ways. Oh my God, what a difference. And it also allows more hydration into the cells of your body. So that's another reason that you're feeling better. And a part of that is connected to something called the fascia. And the fascia is something that we all have, and most of us don't know anything about, and it was something I only learned about 3 years ago, and I'm not an expert on it whatsoever, but I've had some fascia massages, and basically the fascia is It's like a netting. It's a thin connective tissue that runs through our whole body from the tip of our head down to our feet, I think. And it literally holds everything in place. So it holds every organ, every blood vessel, all our bones, all our nerves, all the fibers, every single muscle in place. But it also has its own nerves. So it's very sensitive, and it also can help hydrate us. When we're stressed, it tightens up. So it's really important for us to maneuver our fascia. And they, again, are very like micro movements that make a massive difference.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not an expert in this, but there's this amazing guy who's got an Instagram page, and you could probably find him on looking his website up as well. It's called Human Garage, and we will leave a link to it, where he does so much free stuff and shows you just these very small micro movements and how much it can help our body with so many things. I mean, it releases trauma in the body, like emotional trauma as well as physical trauma. But also it releases pain, like if you're feeling stiff, or, you know, I'm not just moving my neck just then, actually, I have a pain down the back of my back, because I know that, I probably could do with a really good fascial massage, actually, or going to see an osteopath or something needs, I'm a little bit stiff.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating, but this is an important part of our body that we're not taught about. You know, it's incredible.
Well, I think when you're stretching sort of like muscles out, and if you start from sort of like your head and you start with your neck, and then, you know, you put your arm up and you sort of stretch the
underneath,
like your triceps, you know, pushing your arms sort of like backwards, and then you put your arms out and like you twist them sort of like one way and twist them the other way.
Yeah.
It's all like elongating and stretching muscles out, and it's not about forcing it, but if you find a muscle that feels tight, hold it there and sort of push it so that it's you can feel that it's and just breathe. You can hold it for like a minute or two. It doesn't have to be a quick thing, because you can tell the difference when something's doing you harm or when something's doing you good, can't you? And that feeling of how much looser you feel, like you're saying, if your neck feels tight, then you don't want to move your neck so much. So then you automatically tense up the muscles in your back. And then because you're tensing up the muscles in your back, you stop sort of like moving your hips quite so much. And then they start, and suddenly you've radiated from this pain that you had in your neck. Suddenly your whole body feels stiff.
Yes.
And if you can just sort of like start 5-10 minutes, start thinking, right, I'm going to start with my neck, and then I'm going to move down, and I'm just going to become aware, oh, that arm feels a bit, hold on, all right, yeah, if I move it that way, yeah, I can feel that stretch. Okay, I'm just going to hold that for a minute. And it doesn't have to be any particular set way. If it feels nice when you stretch it.
And do you know what? If you did that for 5 minutes, if you can give yourself 10 minutes, brilliant. But like 5 minutes a day, everyone has that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know myself, even though I'm not doing exercise, doing that has made a massive difference to how my body feels and moves. Oh, I've lost you.
Back again.
Yeah.
I think my screen runs out. We're having more technical issues, aren't we, today? But we had no volume, so we're on the phones again. So I think my screen like times out or something.
Yeah,
anyway.
We're putting it down to the solar flares, because that
yes, absolutely. But yeah, like you said, when people think of like, oh, I should start exercising, it's that pressure of like, oh, well, I've got to start doing this class, and I've got to start doing that. And it's not. It's about, you know, we can all find 10 minutes every day, and that there's been a study out recently about how 10 minutes every day is so beneficial to us, you know, just going for a 10 minute walk. If you don't like walking outside in nature or ever, just having a walk for 10 minutes on the treadmill, or walking, if you're in an office block, walking down the stairs and back up again, or just kind of like walking around for 10 minutes, just finding 10 minutes every day. There's so much you could do in 10 minutes. Like we were saying, like some yoga stretches for 10 minutes, having a walk for 10 minutes.
I sometimes do like 20 squats.
Well, people talk about strength training. People don't like, okay, well, oh, that means I've got to go down the gym and I've got to stop in like a gym. Like, no, strength training, you can use your own body. So doing press ups, your body is the weight. You're using resistance of your own body. Squats, you're using the weight of your body, you're going down. Bicep dips, we can all, wherever, you know, you can find, you can do 10 minutes of just doing that. HIIT is a brilliant. I used to do a lot of HIIT before I started doing the running and everything. I used to do a lot of HIIT, and I would then choose, like, say, five exercises that I would do. So I'd say maybe do some sit-ups, some bicep dips, some bicep tricep dips, some bicep curls, some squats, and maybe run on the spot, you know. And I would, so then I set my timer for like 40 seconds. So I would run on the spot as fast as I could for those 40 seconds, and then 20 seconds rest, let your body come back, and then you do as many squats as you can do in that 20 seconds rest, 40 seconds rest for the 20 seconds bicep curls. You can have a tin of beans in each hand, you know what I mean? And you don't even need that, as long as you're kind of constricting the muscles as you're moving it, you're putting like pressure onto them, you know. It will and that, you can do that sort of like three or four times, 10-15 minutes. But HIIT has been proven to have such beneficial, you know, like the effects on your body, your metabolism, all of these things. You haven't even got to do it every day. I think the study was like, if you did that once or twice a week, massively, massively improves like your health.
That's so good.
So you could do that every other day, and then think, well, the other day I'm going to go and have a 10-minute walk. I'm going to, you know, rather than taking my lunch in, or, you know, I'm just going to find somewhere that you can go and just do 10 minutes of exercise. It hasn't got to be running around the park. It hasn't got to be swimming. If you enjoy that, that's fantastic. It's just, like you say, finding a way of moving your body. And when you do move your body feels a bit better, but your mind feels so much better as well. And you feel, get that feeling of, you know, you're proud of yourself, you know, which is
nice. Because I don't do it that often. When I do some, I tell you what, I felt, oh my God, I've done exercise. I'm going to post it. No, I'm not, because I've only ever done it once. And then I probably won't do it for a couple of days, but I do feel proud of myself. Yeah. I just want to mention this really good book called The Cell Workout. So when I went to the Hardman Trust Awards recently that we'd spoken about for the prison service and for the trust that my grandfather has set up, I met this amazing guy who used to be in prison himself. And while he was in prison, created something called the cell workout.
Right.
Because they are stuck in these cells for God knows how many hours a day. And, you know, their mental health will be, you know, not in a good state, not being able to exercise. So he created this workout without the use, like you were saying, of any kind of, you know, weights or anything like that, just using your body. And we did some of the exercises with him when we went to the ceremony. And they are, that anyone can do them. They're brilliant, but they make such a difference. I'll put a link to his book because it is brilliant.
Well, you do it to your ability, you know, so you kind of like, you know, and if you like, when you start off doing, say, like tricep dips, I mean, they hurt, you know, you might only be able to do one or two. And then all of a sudden you're doing 20 or 30, you know, but that's just a natural progression. But I think if you can sort of think to yourself, right, okay, just for this week, or just for this month, or just for like every other day, I'm going to make sure that I do that. And don't give yourself time to think about it. Think, right, that's what I'm doing. Just do it and see how you feel after that period of time. That to me is where, that's what keeps you going back. And I mean, yeah, it's nice. Suddenly your clothes feel a bit better on you, or you feel a little bit kind of
that's
like that's you know, for me, it is the how good I feel, mind, body and spirit. I guess that's what it is for me, you know. And it does become so much more important as we get older, just to keep moving. And you don't, for some people, they've never exercised their whole life because they you know, they just have, you're young, you're just kind of like, you know. And as you get older, maybe you know your waistband is expanding, and that's fine. There's not a problem in that as such, but it's just that kind of like, you don't want to start getting the sort of like the cholesterol and all of those things.
And your body,
you know,
just sees our bodies
and like your muscles, like sort of, you know, weakening and all of these things. So just by adding that little bit of movement, you can improve all of these things. But as well, as we get older, we don't tend to be maybe socializing as much as we were before, you know, and people can become quite lonely and quite sort of, so you can join clubs, you can go and find a club where you can dance. There might be a Zumba class. There might be like a badminton club. There might be even like a like darts or like, you
or
know,
walking. There's or bowls.
There's loads of walking clubs all around. And so not only are you exercising, but you're also fulfilling that social element, which we do all need, you know, yes, as much as we think we don't, we do all need it, you know. And you might not like everybody there, but you might meet one or two people, and just going and being around humans, you know, does do a lot for you. I mean, like I've said before, half the reason that I go running, half the reason that I go swimming is because of the people that I know I'm going to see when I'm there, you know. And that makes a massive difference. I mean, like dancing, you know, like going and joining the club and dancing is fine. But if you know, if you decide that, right, for 10 minutes a day, I'm going to put on like a bit of music that I used to listen to when I was in my 20s or whatever, and go to the clubs and dance to that for 10 minutes, you know, it's kind of,
I can be testimony to that, because I was very brave or stupid and put out a video of me doing exactly that in my front.
It was brilliant. I saw that. It was brilliant.
But you know what? That was just for my mental health more than anything. Yeah. Obviously, it's good to move your body. But that was when I had like a really bad day and just thought, right, I'm going to put the music on and just change the way I'm feeling. And it does.
Yeah.
You know, for me, dancing does that, and music.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think, you know, it's if you're new to exercise, and then just try a few things. A lot of times you know, especially in January, and you know, a lot of times local gyms and will offer free membership for a certain amount of time. So just go and just try a few things. You might go and think, right, I'm going to go and try this, I don't know, Zumba class. I've never done it before. And it just seems, you might go and absolutely have such a laugh. You might, yeah. you know, there's a lady like locally who does like Bangor Beat, and people kind of, they just love it, you know. There's another one around here that does kind of like aerobics with all glow sticks, and it's all kind of like 80s kind of like, you know. And people go and it's the laugh. And I mean, gosh, we all know what a good laugh, how good that makes us feel, you know. So I mean, the actual kind of like the physical element of it is definitely a big part of it. We should be moving our bodies. We need to keep our bodies healthy. We only get one. I think you become a lot more conscientious, or, you know, I did of my body as I got older. You know, I now actually do have to look after it a little bit more. If I want it to keep being healthy and doing the things that I want it to do, then I've got to put in good fuel, and I've got to move it a little bit
more.
We
have to make an effort as we're getting older. It's not like when we were younger. Yeah. But that's not, you know, you don't have to just, so that's it, I'm old now, so that's it, it's going to hurt, that part of my body's going to hurt, or I'm not going to be able to do as much as I wanted to do. I'm sorry, but that generally, not all the time, can be crap, because there are people in their 70s and 80s still doing stuff that they would have done in their 30s or 20s.
Because absolutely.
They just get up and they move their bodies.
Absolutely. It is the state of mind. It's your mind telling you that you can't do these things. And you're not going to go from sitting, from doing nothing, to being able to run a marathon. I mean, you know, or being able to go to a yoga class and being able to get into all the kind of like, you know, the postures that a lot of them are getting. Or, you know, going to a dance class and being able to remember all of the things, being able to do the lesson for the whole level of time without having to stop and catch your breath. But you know what, when you keep plugging at it, you actually do get there, you know. And I mean, my dad has cycled his whole life. He was always quite, you know, he played football and stuff like that as he was in his younger days, but he still cycles everywhere, you know. And it's incredible, you know. He's actually really, I mean, my dad's 80 and he's brilliant for his age, you know. And he can run for the bus faster than I can run for the bus, but it's a lot of that is his state of mind. He's like, I'm not gonna stop doing that, you know. And I think we can limit our beliefs in anything, can't we? We can tell ourselves we can't do so. We can tell ourselves that we're too old to start exercising. We can tell ourselves that we're not fit enough to exercise. When the truth of the matter is, none of that is true, you know. No. We are fit enough. If we can put one foot in front of the other, then we can walk. You know, if we can sort of like
turn your head to the side, you can stretch. If you can't walk, you can do chair yoga. There's exercises you can do sitting down. You know, there will be something. And I just remember something that I learned on a course, and we will wrap it up in a sec, but on a course that I did once, and it was to help you get going, and it sounds really stupid, but it's the 5-4-3-2-1.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, that's Mel Robbins. That's yes, what she came up with. Yeah.
So five, four, yeah. Yeah. So you literally just count 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Get off your ass and do it.
Yeah. And the point behind that is because you do it within that time. And then, so like when your alarm goes off, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, get up.
Yeah.
And she puts it into kind of like, you know, for all things. So like if you've got, you know, like a phone call that you don't want to make, or like a, you know, something that you're worried about doing, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, do it. Because that short period of time, it doesn't allow that monkey brain to kick in. That's doesn't it. Allow that kind of like that negative thought. So you just do it. So, and it is, it's a, you know, it's a great way to start. And again, when it's like most things, once you actually start doing these things, you think, I wish I'd have done that before. Why didn't I try that before?
I know. So, we're our own worst enemies sometimes.
Where we are.
But also we are in control. We are completely in control of how we're feeling and what we do. And so sometimes I think we forget that. So this is a reminder that, you know, just take that one little step, just 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, just move your head a little bit and take it from there.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
But I think, like you say, that just that looseness that you feel, that, God, do you know what? I can't believe that just doing that actually made me feel so much better. Yeah. You know, turn your head, like you say, head side to side, and then very, very slow, like head rotations. And like my yoga teacher, she's always kind of like, you know, as you go around, you hear these kind of, she always calls them celery sounds. And that is exactly what it sounds like.
Crunching.
Yeah. Oh, God, and that's kind of like, you know, like when you're hearing that, and if you get to a tight spot, kind of like linger on that a little bit. Obviously, if you're feeling like a sharp pain, stop. But that kind of like those celery sounds, that is just your body like letting go of all the nitrogen or whatever it is. It's kind of like, you know, it's got sort of stuck there that's making you feel stiff. Yeah. So, and I mean, doing yoga, you know, I like quite like that. As you stretch, sometimes you hear like pop, pop, pop. Oh, that's better. You know, because you go to chiropractors and they'll pop you and think, actually by stretching, relieve some. I'm not saying it's. You know, it's quite, but you do get that, like, oh, right, yeah, gosh, that feels better, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's enough, you know, yoga. I think everybody should do a little bit of yoga to whatever, not like a, you know, like a full, right, okay, you've got to go and do a full hours yoga session. That is great, because, I mean, the yoga sessions when you go to, then you start off with a bit of breath work, and then you'll end on the kind of like the relaxation, and you've got the movement in between, and it's such a nice way to kind of to exercise. Mm-hmm. But you know, just those few simple stretches, I think that is if that's where you start off with, everybody can do those things and make their bodies feel a hell of a lot better than they do already.
Yeah, totally.
So when you come in to join me swimming and running, then?
Oh, sorry, I've got a call. I've got a really important call coming in. I've got to take on some China or something. I don't know, like Hong Kong or whatever.
No, but like yesterday, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you're like, well, I should do a bit more. But you do go for walks and you do things, you know. And I think it's kind of like, it's not putting that pressure, because we've all got really busy days, haven't we? And it's kind of, but yeah. I think you find that once you actually do stuff, you're like, do you know what? That 10 minutes, I'd have sat there looking at my phone scrolling for an hour. So if I did, I scrolled for 50 minutes and 10 minutes I did a bit of movement instead, you know.
Yeah, exactly that.
And you're going to feel better for it. So
next week we may or may not have a guest.
Yes. Yeah, we need a PA. That's what we need. We need somebody to organise us. But until then, you know, we'll just keep rolling the way we're rolling, because it's you know, we're doing all right. So it's a surprise for you as much as it is for us.
So. Absolutely. But I think that's it now, isn't it, for the today's one. And yes, just remember, guys, to give yourself a little bit of that love that you're giving everyone else. And in case no one has told you, we love you.
We do indeed.
And we will catch up with you next week.
We will. Have a good week. And see you soon.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
We hope you've enjoyed today's conversation. And if you have, please rate and review us on whatever platform you're listening on, as it helps other people discover us too. Please share our podcast with anyone else you think may benefit from it also.